Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more.
Without any further introduction, I was going to introduce to you Eric Nelson, who is the new pastor from Calvary Chapel West Grove, not far from us right here, but he's not here. And he wasn't feeling well, and he told me that a day or two ago, and he said, but if I can't make it, I'm going to send my A-team. And so he did send his A-team, Aaron Garcia, who, and you tell him what you're doing over there, Aaron, but he's filling in for his senior pastor, Eric. And so let's give it up right now for Aaron Garcia. Thank you, buddy. I said Garcia, Gomez. It is Garcia. Did I say Gomez? It's Garcia.
What's up, guys? Good morning. How you doing? My name is Aaron. I've been working as a missionary for 8 years. We've been in Asia primarily, and over there in some of these cultures, you introduce yourself as the husband of one wife, you know. And so my wife Jenna and I, we were married at 21 years old in January, and February we moved onto the mission field. We went to the country of Nepal. Why Nepal? Because that was the area where it just seemed like there was an open door in the midst of great opposition, right? It was in the 1040 window where 3.14 billion people live that have never heard the name of Christ. And out from that big, massive number, there was this teeny, tiny country where God was doing a work and allowed us to come. But God did something awesome there. Not only did he bring me and my wife together, he removed all the props that we could have just propped up our Christianity upon and our marriage upon. It was me, my wife, and Jesus. And we grew so close to one another. We grew so close to the Lord. Can you imagine, you know, 21, right? Emotional as ever, right? Like as a man, you know, and dealing with cultural stress and spiritual warfare. But God did something so great through that time of breaking us. God began a work of church planting work where we were discipling young men and women. They would go out and plant churches. They'd plant churches in Nepal and went into Pakistan and then went into India. And we were able to do that for 7 years. Just an awesome, awesome ministry. And we began to realize, man, these guys that have been raised up and equipped, you know, Calvary style, in the Word of God, loving Jesus, seeking His Spirit, showing grace. We began to see, man, these guys are equipped now. And I remember, you know, one of my brothers we were serving with, he told me, hey, they're about a year or two out from being ready to just hand off the ministry. And then COVID happened. And COVID was this crazy thing where we were like, man, God, what are you doing? And my wife had just, we just conceived, right? She was just pregnant. And we get a call from the American embassy saying, hey, we're doing an evacuation flight. We're probably not interested. We'll probably hang it out. You know, we'll probably stick it out. This thing will probably blow over. And then my wife took a pregnancy test. And we realized she was pregnant. And this is what we've been praying for, right? And so we just had our moment of just absolute joy and then realized, man, we better get on that plane. A day later, we're going through the Twilight Zone, traveling through like crazy, but evacuated. But that was the Lord allowing us to see that men and women were equipped. They were discipled. They were planting churches. They were ready. And they had a heart to go even further into the interior and plant more churches and more churches and more churches. So that's a little bit about me, but that's, you know, I like the song, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who saved my soul, right? That's so we're just so thankful to God opened the door just in May for us to come alongside at our home church where they originally sent us out as 21-year-olds. Could you believe that? So we felt like there was an investment. Now it was time to go and repay that investment and to raise up more and more missionaries. So we've been involved with the Calvary School of Missions, a program where we raise up young missionaries. So that's our heart, to engage the church. I mean, can you imagine being, you know, sent out in a rocket launch and cut off communication from your sending base, right? How terrifying it would be to be in space and not have anyone to call if Houston there's a problem, right? Like, so God's put that ministry before us, and so we're really thankful. We could use your prayers a ton, but we're your friends right here at Calvary West Grove, so thankful for Pastor Bill and for the team here. So without further ado, let's get into John chapter 7. John 7, and we're going to read from 37 to 39. John 7, 37 to 39. And it says this, in verse 37, it says, "On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his hearts will flow rivers of living water.' But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." We come into a scene where there's just a lot going on culturally. There's a lot going on in the context of this particular feast that we stumble upon. Jesus, it says on verse 37, it's the last day, that great day of the feast. So much is implied there. It's the Feast of Tabernacles. It's the Feast of Ingathering. This is basically the Jewish festival of Thanksgiving, right? This is their festival, which was like the pinnacle of the festival season. So there's Passover, there's Pentecost, and then there's Tabernacles, which is just joyous. The work is done. All the grain is brought in. We're celebrating. And they're celebrating three things: God's past faithfulness, Yahweh's past faithfulness to Moses and the generation that was in the wilderness, right? God, you provided light when we were in the desert. You provided water out from the rocks. You provided bread, you know, from the sky. So celebrating the past faithfulness, God's current faithfulness to them, being in the land that God had promised. So thankful. Alfred Edersheim, one of the historians, he says this was the most joyful of all joyful seasons. God, we're in the land now. We're here. This is our place. But then it's also a prophetic picture of what we'll be doing in the millennial kingdom. In the millennial kingdom, Zechariah says that we will all come and celebrate this Feast of Tabernacles. And it also says that the nations will be gathered together. The nations, guys, everyone from every corner of the world, we gather together and celebrating, being thankful, looking at the nail-pierced hands, the nail-pierced feet of Jesus, and saying, "You are worthy of it all. Thank you, Jesus. You brought us here." We'll be there with our brothers from Afghanistan. We'll be there with our brothers in Burma, in Myanmar. We'll be there with our brothers in Nepal, in India, all these places. All the nations will be gathered together. This is going to be an awesome festival. But there's so much of a ceremony that was taking place on this great last day. And if I could, I'll just explain it just really quickly. This particular day was the day where they would pour out water at the base of the altar. But it's more elaborate than that, okay? This is signifying Yahweh's provision in the desert. God, you provided for us water from the rock. You remember the story with Moses, right? This is such a moment. So the priest there went down to the pool of Siloam, grabbed a golden bucket, picked up water, and walked it. And the procession was awesome. As they'd make their way all the way into where the temple was, and literally they would be met with people singing. They'd be singing Isaiah 12, verse 3, where it says, "With joy you will draw water from the well of your salvation." With joy. This prophetically speaks of Christ and his place when we will just draw from him the well of our salvation. And maybe you're dehydrated this morning. You're a dehydrated disciple. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Be nourished. Be satisfied. So they'd be singing through the Psalms, Psalm 113 to Psalm 118, just so much singing taking place. They'd have palm branches. They'd be blowing the shofar trumpet. So much. You with me so far, right? There's so much details, right, going on. And then they'd pour out the golden bucket. And this was joyful upon joyful. And this was commemorating again, God, you're faithful to us. God, you're so good to us. But notice this, it was at this time, during this great day of the feast, that Jesus stood and he cried out. He cried out. The word cried out, it's like the word for like when a raven would like just absolutely, ah! Sorry to scare you guys. I was a professional bird caller previously, right? It's this, he's crying out. He's this open air preaching at this moment. He's probably positioned himself. And he knows this is the last great day. This is that day. And this is on purpose. He's crying out, and he's crying out with passion for lost souls. He's crying out to a lost and thirsty world without Christ. Could you imagine Jesus himself standing up and seizing the attention of this whole ceremony? It's blasphemy if he's not God. Come to me, he's saying. If you're thirsty, come to me. He is the Son of God, so this is appropriate. He's interrupting this ceremony for a reason. Could you imagine the Son of God crying out, open air preaching? This is the Savior, the Son of God, and he's inviting, he's pleading with people to come. He invited. He initiated with this crowd and with you and I today. Guys, be encouraged. If you're struggling with your love for God, if you're struggling with those religious affections, he loved you first, my friend. It's the love of Christ that compels us to live selflessly. It's not you. It's his great love for you. He cried out to you. He initiated with you. He invited you. Zephaniah says he sings over you. He quiets you with his love. He loves you infinitely, unconditionally, with no ending, right? Like just this awesome love. And he knows you, by the way, still loves you. It's that love that compels us. It's that love. He reached out to us. This is the open-air preaching Messiah, interrupting a ceremony to invite the world to come to him. And he pleads today also through his church, through you and I. 2 Corinthians 5:20, right? We are ambassadors. We are sent out ones, representing Jesus, representing God the Father, pleading his heart for people. We are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us, be reconciled to God. Now let's consider what he says. He says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. If anyone is thirsty. Remember the priests and their great elaborate ceremony? I would have loved to see the surprise on their face as Jesus just has a mic drop moment right in the middle. Just come to me now. And he's saying, if you're thirsting, if you currently are thirsting, come to me. Are you still thirsty? Not yet quite satisfied in your soul? And maybe you had that moment, right? A lot of us, we're believers today. We're saved individuals. But it's interesting. We can go on in being saved and yet not being satisfied in Christ. Wandering, looking, you know, not being satisfied in Christ. Not fully being filled with Jesus. Guys, we're still thirsty today. We're still thirsty today. That's why you're here. But it's like Pastor Bill was saying, we have to admit it to one another. I have a deep poverty within myself. And when I'm shallow in my poverty, when I'm shallow of the reality of who I am, there's no power in my life because I'm not coming hungry. I'm not coming thirsty. I'm not coming desperate like I was when I first accepted Jesus when I was 17. Man, I want that same hunger. I want to pant like the deer for the living God. Like I want to hunger and thirst for righteousness. I want to be satisfied in God. When I fail, I want to look up and say, God, I need you. Are you thirsty? When's the last time you had a drink? I mean, that would seem ridiculous, right, to ask another brother, but man, we have to ask each other. When's the last time you had a drink of the water of the well, brother? And you don't got to say it like that, you know, but like, hey, what's going on? How you doing? Are you doing okay? How's your family? And we got to be willing to talk to each other. I love that we're all pressed in. You're all at tables with people you probably don't know. Guys, be real. Be honest. When did you stop thirsting? When did the thirst go away? When did the hunger go away? When did the first love go away? And I just got busy with works and good things, but I left my first love. Guys, the brothers around you, we can help you remember where you left it. We can help you in that. We can pursue Christ together. But you got to admit, we got to come to that place to admit we're thirsting. We're not all good. It's not all good. And I'm not saying like air it out with people, but man, find that band of cohorts. Find somebody that you trust, someone that and we're just sharing with each other. We're praying for each other. We're holding each other accountable. I'm so thankful for a meeting like this today. Just to stop and to pause with other brothers and to do self-evaluation. Man, I'm thirsty. How about you? When's the last time you had a drink? Man, we should sing that today, right? Like they sang in that day, on that great day. With joy, you shall draw water from the well of your salvation. Guys, this is your bucket, guys. Right here. This is your bucket. Draw water from Jesus each and every day. Call out to him. Cry out to him. My soul thirsts for the living God. I am not satisfied with anything else. I want to turn my eyes, like Job said, from women. I don't want to be pulled down with Satan's attempts to just make me just useless for the kingdom of God. I don't want these things. And I want Jesus more than anything. Guys, he calls out to a religious group. I mean, would you say that these guys are all in, right? I mean, everyone from 15 miles away, every male would have gathered at this feast. I mean, from appearance sake, these guys are all in. They got the shaking of the branches. They're blowing the trumpets. It's all going on. They're pouring the water. There's so much noise. There's so much singing. Jesus says, are you still thirsty? After all that, do you want what religion cannot satisfy? What nothing in this world can quench? And guys, we are saturated with stuff, with noise and things going on and busy schedules. And man, we're still thirsty. Still thirsty. Jesus said this to a religious people group. He said it to an immoral woman at the well as well. So it's everybody, anyone that is thirsting. This is good news. This is good news. We can come. We can come to Jesus. And it's in the present tense. So keep coming. Keep coming. It's not a one and done. I'm a leaky vessel. I'm a cracked pot, right? That's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4 and 5. I'm not looking at these things. These afflictions, my outward man is perishing. I need inward, daily renewal. He says in 2 Corinthians 3, he says, by glory to glory, I want to be transformed more and more into the image of Jesus. This is a daily walk. Keep coming, keep drinking. And there's some commentary here to what exactly that means. Look at verse 39. He spoke this concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. Believing and receiving. How does this metaphor match up? Come. That's your act of belief. By coming, by activating your faith. Come, guys, come. Gather, come, draw, call, preach. We need to be active again. We need to be activated in our faith. Come. I can't make you come, right? And you know what it's like chasing people that don't really want it. They're not really about it. But you're coming. Coming, Jesus said. Come. And drink. Drink. That's your receiving. Believing, receiving. Coming and drinking. Not just satisfaction for my soul, but I need the Savior. I need him. I don't need to first pound on his door. I mean, he's gracious enough to handle it, right? When we come and we just bombard with these lists and needs in my prayer. But I need to quiet my soul in God's love. I need to just sit before him and just drink in of him. Before the things that I need Jesus. He's the preeminent need of my life. Last night when my baby couldn't sleep, God, I'm thirsty, Lord. I need your life. I need power, right? Not only for my neighbors, not only for what's going on in my house, but for the nations. There's a great calling upon the church. Notice this. He wants to supply each and every one of those needs. And he wants to send us out as well. Notice this in verse 38. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. I love that. Rivers. And so often, I feel like it's just a stream. I feel like it's a little creek coming out from my heart. Man, you're a missionary, man. You should be like the, no. Just as dependent as we all are for Jesus. But guys, when you come, when you're coming, when you're drinking, when you're activating your faith, believing, receiving, guys, watch your heart become a river of living water, a fountain of living water. Jeremiah says something, the reason why we don't come. Jeremiah chapter 2, so profound. He says, my people are drinking from broken cisterns. They're trying to satisfy themselves, and they've forsaken the fountain of living water. Guys, recognize our need today. Recognize our need for Jesus. Recognize our need for other brothers today. It's not all good. I need it. And I love the way it said, it's a take off the mask. You know, we wear these masks all the time, and I really don't know someone, you know, like maybe I know their eyes, but the second they take them off, I'm like, whoa, who's this guy? Like, oh, guys, this is our opportunity to be encouraged. This is our opportunity to band together. This is our opportunity. But you got to recognize your need today. If you recognize your need, Jesus is not going to turn you away. He knows we messed up. He knows our insufficiencies. Guys, we are blessed with those things, by the way. Muscles sag. Faces wrinkle. Reeds wither. Metals rust. Guys, it's okay. And when we recognize these things, man, it makes us more and more fervent to press in Jesus. Press into him. Press into him today. And watch your heart become a fountain for the nations. Watch your heart become a fountain of life, of the Holy Spirit, to your neighbors, your family, your nations, everybody around you. Guys, you realize, it says here, with Paul, with John's commentary, he says, the Holy Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So fast forward a little bit. In John 20, Jesus was glorified, right? He came off the cross, he resurrected, and all of a sudden he appears in the room with his disciples. He was glorified. And what does he do? He says, peace be with you guys. As the Father sent me, so I'm sending you. And what does he do? He breathes on them the Holy Spirit. He says, receive it. Receive the Holy Spirit. And then 50 days later, Jesus ascends. And then again, remember Jesus said, hey, wait in Jerusalem for a time. Before you go out and reach the world, wait for a time. You need the helper. You need the Holy Spirit to come and baptize you with power. And so, sure enough, Jesus ascends. And then 10 days later, the 120 were gathered in the upper room, and the Holy Spirit came upon them and gave them great power. Now, what was happening in John 20? That was the regenerate. That was life. That was their first drink of the living water. Their minds were opened, it says. Now the Spirit lived inside them. Now they had all the ability, all the life-giving power to now go live for Jesus, now bear fruit for Jesus. And then 50 days later, the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and now they have power for ministry, to be bold and effective witnesses for Jesus Christ. This is our calling, guys. Live for Jesus. Be sent out by Jesus, and now be bold for Jesus. I was at the gas station the other day, and a kid comes up to me, and he's selling his little soccer cards, right? He's trying to make some money for his uniform, and he comes up to me, and he's like talking to me, and I'm terrified, and I'm on my way home, and I just got off, you know, and I got to go hang out with my baby before she goes to sleep, and I'm like, man, this is an opportunity right here. I'm terrified. And you're probably thinking, man, you're a missionary, man. Like, you should be baptizing this guy at the gas station, you know, in the little squeegee water, you know? Like, no, it's not. I'm terrified. And I was about to just kind of shine this dude off. Man, I ain't got no money, you know? Just, so I go to my car, and before I can, I see a track there, and I'm like, ah, oh, all right, Lord. Crying out from my door to the gas pump, there was like a 2-second prayer. God, I need you right now. And God gives you the power of the Spirit in that moment to be his witness and be effective. So we go, start talking to this guy, and before you know it, we're sharing the gospel. Jesus is your substitute. He took the wrath of God so you can go to heaven. What do you think about that, bro? He's like, dang, I wasn't expecting that. And before you knew it, the power that's available to you and I, if we're thirsty men. Be thirsty today. Amen. Cry out to the living God. Mm-hmm. Thirst for him. Call out to him. He wants to equip you. He wants to enable you. He wants to be with you, guys. To make disciples here, among your neighbors, and under the nations. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God, we're so thankful for just times like this. And we pray, just God, that Holy Spirit, now you would do your work. Fill us afresh. As we're just leaning forward in our hearts, God, prostrated before you, God, we worship you. We come not for water that doesn't satisfy. That water lies to us. We want living water today. We want you, Jesus. So fill us again by the power of your Spirit. Enable us to go outside of our comfort zones today. Enable us, give us the power to minister to our brothers today, to be ministered to. Do your work among us today, I pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you that you initiated the work to us. You called out to us. We love you, Jesus. We love you so much. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins.